All right, how many of you today would admit that there's been a time in your life where you've made a bold declaration? And here's what that means. You saw something on television. Maybe you saw marathon runners. You saw something that inspired you. And so you made this bold declaration of like, this is going to change in my life. A lot of times these happen in January, but I'm going to make a humongous change, right? You have what's called a moment of clarity, where you just see clearly how great life could be, and you decide, I'm going to change. Well, when I was 10 years old, that happened to me. I was watching a movie with my family, and at the end of this movie, I really felt like that my life had been changed. The movie, I'm sure many of you remember it, was called Great Balls of Fire. But I didn't say it was a good movie. I just said it was a movie that I thought had changed my life. Great Balls of Fire, there it is right there, about the one Mr. Jerry Lee Lewis. And little backstory, at the time I saw this movie, I've been taking piano lessons for about a year, and I hated them, and I wanted to quit because I wanted to play baseball, and it was interfering with baseball practice. And my parents were pushing me, saying, no, you need to stick with it. Trust me, you'll be glad later, blah, blah, blah. Well, then I see Great Balls of Fire, and I see Jerry Lee Lewis. I see this dude playing the piano in a way I did not know you could play the piano. Like, I mean, he was just rocking and rolling. People were having fun. Girls liked it. And I was like, wait a minute. This sounds kind of cool. And so I had this moment of clarity. I could see my life unfolding, and I was like, I want to become the next Jerry Lee Lewis. I want to learn how to play the piano like that. And I can remember when the movie was over, my father's here, he can attest to this, I looked them straight in the eye, and I said, Mother, Father, promise me that you will not let me stop taking piano lessons until I'm as good as Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm making that commitment to you now. I want to be as good as Jerry Lee Lewis. Don't let me stop playing piano. And they said, yes, son, we promise. And I want to show you how good I am at piano. I want to show you all the how much all that work paid off. All right? So here we go. I'm gonna wow you a minute with some Jerry Lee Lewis. Here we go. Yeah, it paid off none, right? None at all. None. None. Not one bit. I think I quit playing. I think I've quit piano within the month, maybe within two, because by that time I think it was basketball practice and it was interfering with my piano lessons, and I quit and never played again. Never played again. I had this moment of clarity, thought my life had changed. Nothing. Nothing actually happened. Now, I tell you that story to say I know that I'm not alone in this, right? I know that many, if not all of us in the room from time to time have had the moment of clarity, the moment of, oh, I could see how my life would be different if I just made these changes. And we get the emotion of me, I'm going to make the change. And we make the bold declarations, maybe to friends. But now in the 21st century, in the Facebook world, we put it on Facebook. You know, we put a big Facebook update your status. I'm changing my life. And you forget that there's like 10 statuses underneath where you've said the same thing, right? And you got friends who like it, but they secretly are texting each other. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? It's not going to happen. How many times have we heard that before, right? Because this happens over and over and over. Now, I think the world's going to be okay that I didn't become the next Jerry Lee Lewis, right? I think we're going to be fine that I can't play the piano like that. Now, if you've been attending for any part of the series, though, I'm hoping that you've heard some things, that you've had some moments of clarity, you've made some bold declarations about some things you want to change in your life. And the difference is, if you don't keep up those changes, it's a lot more dangerous than if I never became Jerry Lee Lewis. Because the changes you're making The changes I'm making because of this series are changes where we're actually trying to lose religion, lose this idea that we can negotiate with God, lose the idea that we're smarter than him, that no matter what he says, we can bring back whatever we want and say, take it or leave it, it's good enough. See, we need to lose that. And I believe many of you have had the moments of clarity to decide, yes, this is right. I've been using church attendance. I've been using giving. I've been using my good deeds. I've been using these things to try to negotiate with God to get me points, to get me favor. I believe many of you have done that. But I also know that unless we put some new practices in our life, unless we put some things and take some steps going forward, you'll drift right back into religion. And I know that because it's been happening since the beginning of time. And throughout the Bible, if you read the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, they were constantly drifting away from a relationship with God and back towards religion. Because it's easier, quite frankly. Because when we drift back towards religion, we put the thing back on us and we can earn it and we can make God happy with us and we drift away from relationship. In the Old Testament, if you've ever read the Old Testament, God's people had seen him do crazy, miraculous things like literally part water in half and walk across in dry land and all these other things. Yet they were consistently drifting back to religion. They were constantly trying to create idols and create things that they could see and taste and touch and create rules by which they could say, as long as I keep these rules, God's going to be good with me. In the New Testament, we see this happening as well. If you've been around Wellspring for a while, you've heard me talk about a guy named Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' 12 dudes who rolled with him, and one of the 12 guys that he said, you're going to go change the world. Peter, a guy, when we did the series Big Church, Peter preached the first sermon. And because it was good, because when he preached that first sermon, 3,000 people came to Jesus and they got baptized that day. Peter, who wrote 2 books of the New Testament. Peter, who was an early church leader. Peter drifted from relationship back to religion. There's a story of him when he's in the town called Antioch. And in Antioch, they were Christians, but they hadn't been Jews first. And so they didn't follow all the rules that the Jewish people follow. We talked about this on week 2, if you were here. And while Peter was alone in Antioch, he had a great time hanging out with the non-Jewish Christians who didn't follow the non-Jewish rules. But here's what happened. One day, his friends from Jerusalem showed up, and they were Jewish. And they looked at Peter, and they said, why are you hanging out with these unclean people? Because they don't follow these rituals. And guess what Peter did? Peter went from relationship and drifted back towards religion and stopped hanging out with those people and started saying they were unclean. Now, this is Peter. This is the guy. If you were here week 2, you know Jesus talked about those rituals. And Jesus said they count for nothing. They're worthless. Here's the thing. Peter was there when Jesus said it. Peter heard Jesus say these rules count for nothing. Yet fast forward a few years, and there's Peter putting value in those rules again. Why? Because we as human beings will always drift from relationship back towards religion. Doesn't matter our moment of clarity. It doesn't matter our bold declaration. We have a tendency to drift back towards religion. So today, as we wrap up this series, I want to make a statement to you, and then we're gonna deal with it, okay? But here's the statement I want to make, okay? We can't just lose religion once. We have to keep losing it every single day. Some of you know an alcoholic. Some of you are recovering alcoholics, and you know this to be true. Once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic, right? You just become a recovering alcoholic. We should think of ourselves the same way. We are religiholics, okay? We are. And the goal is to be a recovering religiholic. But what is it they say? The first step is admitting you have a problem, right? We have to all admit we have a problem. And that problem is that we all think we're smarter than God. And anytime you think you're smarter than God, you are always going to drift towards religion and developing religions because you're going to think, I can negotiate with him and I can please him with these things I've decided matter. Okay, so that's where we are. That's where we are. So what we got to do is what I want to try to do today is help you know how to lose religion every day, how to make this happen. And you may say, how do we do that? And I would say, that's a fantastic question. I'm so glad you asked. How do we do that? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to try to give you some tips today for how to keep losing religion every single day. For how to keep it at bay, to keep yourself from drifting back towards religion. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of passages in the New Testament written by this guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul. He started most of the churches in the early Christian era. If you ever study about that, he started most of those churches. He wrote over half the New Testament. And again, because we drift, Paul dealt with this a ton. A ton. Every church he started, he had to go back and say, time out, wait a minute, you're drifting back towards religion, and you're trying to tell people that if they don't wear a tie, they don't really count, and you're trying to tell people this, and you got to stop. It's about a relationship, not religion. And so that's what Paul was doing. So what we're going to do today is we're going to hop around a bit. We're going to look at a couple of passages from the life of Paul, and then I'm going to give you kind of a summary statement at the end. Kind of a summary statement that I believe if we can just focus on this one thing, because I try to make it simple. Focus on one thing going forward. I believe we will be able to successfully keep religion at bay and live in that relationship that God wants. And if you're here today and you aren't really sure about this God thing, I want you to know he still wants it for you too. He sent his son to die for you. And you didn't know why you showed up this morning. You almost turned around because the marathon made you a little mad. But you're here because God wants to touch your heart. I know it. You'll know it by the end of the hour. I promise you will. Because it ain't about me, it's about Jesus, and he's awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump around a bit. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with us, but if not, they're going to be up on the screen. I want to read you a couple of passages that I think really just give us some steps, kind of a process to hopefully keep religion at bay. We're going to start in Colossians 2. Paul had planted this church in Colossae, and in chapter 2, starting in verse 6, he starts to talk to the people who have begun a relationship with Christ, and he talks about how you've started something. You've had the moment of clarity. You've made the bold declaration, but we got to keep it going. Verse 6, he says this. He says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. You've accepted him, now continue to follow him. It's not earth shattering, folks. I'm not trying to pretend like that's a big deal, that's something you never thought of before. You have to keep doing it, right? But what I want you to see is that what Paul's kind of trying to say there, and what he's trying to point out to us, is that following Christ, being a Christ follower, having a relationship with God, and this is going to help you if you can think of it this way, is a constant series of next steps. It is a constant series of next steps. You will never arrive in following Christ. You won't. It's a series of next steps. For some of you, you've accepted Christ here. Your first next step was to go get baptized. And we did it in the ocean. We've showed videos of it. We celebrate it. Some of you others, that's your next step. That's the first step of obedience. You need to be baptized. Others, you've taken that next step and you've started discovering your gifts and serving here on a Sunday morning for yourself, making a difference. Well, there's still a next step. After that, others of you, you've joined a community group. You're starting to make friends here at the church and have people you can count on or rely on. I heard of a community group last week rallying to take care of a family that had hit a rough patch, and it was just awesome. I was like, that's what the church is supposed to be. That's a next step. But what can happen for all of us in that position is we could go and say, okay, I'm serving. I'm in a community group. I've been baptized. Check. I'm done. And the second you say, I'm done, you have begun the drift back towards religion. Because the second you say, I'm done, the second you say, you'll remember this phrase, good enough from last week. The second you say, I've done all I need to do, guess what? You've taken the focus off of God. You put the focus back on you. And then you're following a religion again. Because you're now saying, I've achieved all I need to achieve. I'm like Jesus enough. But no, it's a constant process, a constant change. I've been following Christ with my life, heart and soul, for at least 12 to 14 years. I get paid to be up here. You could call me a professional Christian, I guess. But I still have many, many, many next steps to make. Okay, that's what I want you to get. We all have next steps. The second we stop, we begin to think we're smarter than God again, and we're following ourselves. All right, so how do we follow? How do we continue to follow him? Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. We build our lives on Jesus. And some of you say, that doesn't make sense. And I understand that. That's one of those church phrases that we say, build your life on Jesus. Good night. And everybody's like, what does that mean? How do I build my life? It doesn't make sense. Here's what it means. It means you begin the process of taking everything in your life that you used to count on to make you feel good and safe and secure and to give you value and to give you hope. And what you do is you replace those things with your relationship with Jesus. You say, I'm not going to let my job help me go to sleep at night because I feel safe and secure because I have a lot of money. I'm going to be able to go to sleep tonight because I'm safe and secure because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know he loves me. I know he wants the best for me. And now that is a process, okay? That's not going to start one time, but I want to show you what happens when you begin that process. Look at this. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. You'll overflow with thankfulness. You'll overflow with gratefulness. You'll overflow with the idea that you're God, I'm not, and I am so thankful for who you are. It's really hard to trust yourself when you're thankful to somebody else for providing for you. But we're going to jump to a new passage now because, again, it's easy to say, build your lives on Jesus. It's easy to say that. It's easy to say, replace things in your life. But lucky for us, Paul actually gives us a process to do this. We actually read this passage last week or 2 weeks ago. But it's one of those passages that just kind of lives in the New Testament. And it's one of my favorites. And so I read it a lot. And you're at the church I pastor, so you're going to hear it a lot. So there. It's in Romans. It's in Romans, Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is what Paul says. This is how to begin building your lives on Jesus. This is how to begin replacing the things that you were counting on, the things you were religious about. This is how to do it. Romans 12 starts in verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul talking, I plead to you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. He's saying, hey, look, if you've had the moment of clarity, if you've made the bold declaration that I get this thing, I get what Christ has done for me, I'm going to follow him. He's saying, sell out to it. Give your bodies to him. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Kind of more church language, right? Give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It sounds a little scary, a bit cultish. Here's what it means. Paul is saying, every single day when you wake up, every single day before you start your day, every single day before you begin to trust in yourself, every single day, wake up and acknowledge to yourself and before God, you are God and I am not. And say, I am yours today. I will work today to follow you and not myself. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. It means daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second, you are consciously saying, God, I want to please you more than I want to please myself. Because you're God and I'm not. And when we do that, watch this. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, if you can remind yourself to do this every single day, if you can begin that relationship with me, I'll actually start to transform you from the inside out. I'll begin to change the way that you think. Which basically means it will become easier and easier as long as you focus on me to focus on me. It will become easier. Because see, if we don't do that, again, here's what's going to happen. Religion, because it's based on the idea that we are smarter than God and can negotiate with him, is always going to try to creep back in. So what better way to remind ourselves he's God and I'm not than to purposely decide every single day before I do anything else, I'm going to take a moment, stop, and I'm going to say he's God and I'm not. He's the boss and I'm not. I'm here to serve him, not myself. Religion will run out the door if you can begin to embrace that idea. See, here's what God wants to say to us. Okay? God wants to say, look, you've begun this relationship with me. I know you're going to drift back towards religion. I know it's going to be a struggle. If you'll let me, I will actually change the way you think. I will transform your heart from the inside out to make it easier for you to follow me and to stay away from religion. And it starts, number one, with acknowledging I'm God and you're not. Every single day. Not once, not the moment of clarity. daily. Work. Acknowledging it on the days where you don't want to acknowledge it. Acknowledging it on the days when your car breaks down, two kids are sick, your roof is leaking, you know your boss is going to fire you within the week. On that day, can you still acknowledge, hey, you're God and I'm not, and I'm mad at you right now? That's fine. Be mad at him. That's cool. He can take that. Read Psalms, dude. David was mad at him all the time. But he says, just acknowledge, I'm God and you're not. And trust me and I'll begin to change you into a new person. And then there's a third passage we're about to read. And because God kind of says, look, I want to change you into a new person, but I know that's a little weird. I know you don't really know what I'm talking about. And I know if I just left it up to you, it'd be a little confusing and you wouldn't really know what to do. So I want to help you. The way I'm going to do that is through this amazing gift I gave you called my word, through the Bible. I have written you a love letter. And it is the way I'm going to transform you from the inside out. We're going to jump now to a third passage, 2 Timothy. This is a letter Paul wrote to a pastor he had been training, helping him get ready to pastor. And it applies to us as well, about God's word, about how we keep from drifting back towards religion. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Okay. What he's saying is, the Bible, God's word, is perfect. God sent it to us. It's true. It's right. It's there to teach us what is true and what is right and what is wrong. And it gives us a clear direction towards God. And here's the deal. If you can admit that, if you can say this book is an authority, that in and of itself is being a living sacrifice to God. Because I've been studying that book, like I said, for about 14 years, and it still confuses me. And quite frankly, there are a few parts I wish I could take out. It would make my life a lot easier. But you know what? I had to come to the place where I said, you're God and I'm not. And I have applied this to my life in many areas. It's always worked. When I've clung to these truths, my life has always gone where God wants it to go. So even though it's confusing and there's some parts where I'm like, I wish you weren't there, he's God and I'm not. If you can come to the place where you can say, all right, God, I'm going to read your Bible, not as interesting literature, not as something I'm going to pick and choose about, but as something I'm going to say, this is my authority and I'm going to work to understand it really hard. But as I do, I'm going to apply its truths to my life. You're being a living and holy sacrifice because you're admitting you're God. And I'm not. Because the Bible does want to speak to you today. It does want to speak to me. It does want to teach us what is true. It does want to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Next verse. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. See? If it's correcting what's wrong, if it's teaching us to do what is right, guess what it's doing? It's transforming us. Because see, here's the thing. It's not just a head thing. Because we have a relationship with God and he's supernaturally in it, he supernaturally can sow those words into your heart. I've done Bible studies with guys before who we would read through verse, we would read through like the book of John or Romans or whatever, and we talk about it. And each one of them would tell me as we went through the thing, they would say, look, man, I didn't even know that I remembered that verse. I didn't even know what it was. But the other day, I was in my car and somebody cut me off in traffic. And my head said I should, you know, cuss at him and stuff. But my heart said, no, that wouldn't please God. Where'd that come from? And I was like, it came from reading God's word and having him transform your heart. And then I said, when is that transformation going to happen to me? I'm just kidding. He closes this way. He says, God uses it. This is about the word of God, the Bible. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every Good work. If you hear nothing else about the Bible, hear this, okay? That means we cannot, let me say that again, cannot, meaning it's impossible to accomplish what God wants for our life without having his word in our lives. Without elevating the Bible to a status of authority and saying, all right, God, you sent this, and this, you say this is your word, you say this is holy, you say this is what you want for our lives, so I'm going to submit to it. God says it's impossible to please him without it. It's impossible to keep ourselves from drifting back towards religion if we don't have God's word in our lives. So, let me kind of summarize this. Let me kind of wrap this up because Paul's given us a game plan here. All right, a game plan for taking the moment of clarity that maybe one of you've had at some point over this series and how to put it into practice so that every single day we can continue to lose religion. Here it is. We lose religion by building our lives on Christ. We've heard that. Building our lives on Christ begins with daily admitting, you're God, I'm not. As we do that, God will begin to change the way we think about him, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about the world around us, because we are investing time and energy in his word, hearing from him and learning what he wants for us. So that's the game plan, but that's big. That's broad, okay? That's not something you can take home and put on a wall. That's not something you can grasp. It's a lot of stuff. I want to make this as simple as possible. I want to take it down into one statement that I believe you can take and you can think about and you can write this down. You can put it somewhere. One statement that if you can leave here today, really grasping hold of, I believe you'll be well on your way to keeping religion at bay, to stopping the religion drift, and to really be able to continue a relationship with the God of the universe who came and died for you and wants to give you the absolute best life possible. Why on earth would you not follow this guy? Man, okay. Here it is. Here's the statement. Our number one goal every day should be to spend time with God and his word and then do what it says. I want you to leave that up there for a while. Our number one goal every single day should be to spend time with God and his word and then do what it says. That's complicated, isn't it? Woo. There's a bunch of steps there. No. It's not that hard. God doesn't want it to be hard. He loves you. He has literally done everything imaginable to have a relationship with you. He sacrificed his son for you. He worked through dozens of men over thousands of years to compile a book, a love letter, just for you. Because he wants to end and he wants to say, this is what I offer to you. This is what your life could be like. A life filled with purpose. A life filled with meaning. A life filled with joy like you can't imagine. A life filled with peace that passes understanding. You don't have to any longer live paycheck to paycheck. You don't have to live job to job. You don't have to live crisis to crisis. The God of the universe says, I'm here. I'm all you'll need forever. Just lose your religion and begin a relationship with me. Please. And to some of you in the room today, he would say, what else do I have to do to get your attention? I've been trying to get your attention since you were a kid, and you come up with excuses, reasons to not acknowledge me. I've been trying to get your attention since you've been in Myrtle Beach. I've been trying for the past month. I sent a flyer to your house, try to get you people here. He would say, this guy on stage right now, I had him move here from Dallas, Texas to get your attention. The two guys on his staff quit their well-paying jobs and moved here for nothing to get your attention. Starting next week, he is going to do a series for 4 weeks in a row called The Gospel that's going to be about nothing but telling you how much I love you, what I've offered for you, and giving you the opportunity to begin a relationship with me. He would say, I have literally moved heaven and earth, three families. I made them put chairs in a movie theater, and I ended a marathon early. What else do I have to do to help you get past this thing you've convinced yourself that this is too good to be true, that this is a fairy tale? This isn't a fairy tale. This is the God of the universe moving heaven and earth to have a real moment with you. And many of you in the room have experienced that moment, and what I'm telling you today is if you want to keep it, if you want to experience the life God has created you to have, focus on this. Every day, spend time with God and His Word and do what it says. And that doesn't mean first thing in the morning. I want to get that out. Some people say you have to spend time with God first thing in the morning. If that was true, I'd be disqualified. Right? So I hope it's not true, because mornings and I don't get along. They just don't. You know? So what it means is every day it's happening. It's a priority. I think about it. And you've experienced this. Many of you, when you fell in love for the first time, when you started dating, maybe you're dating your spouse or dating somebody else, I don't know. Right? You didn't have to convince yourself to hang out with them. If you did, you broke up with them because you knew it wasn't a good thing. I dated a lot of girls like that. I was like, I just don't want to hang out with them. I was like, that's because you don't like them, dude. Break up. I'm like, yeah, but it's fun having a girlfriend, I guess. If you're doing that, don't do that. That's a dating series. I'll do that later. But no, it was a priority in your life to spend time with them. It was a priority in your life to be around them. Now, some days, it doesn't even mean you're necessarily going to sit down and read the Bible every day. It doesn't mean that. Some days you're going to come here. Attending church is not a replacement for spending time in the Word. But on Sunday, sure. Yeah. If you want to count this as you're spending time with God, you're going to listen to Him do what He says as your pastor, I bless that. Right? You're hearing from God today. I hope you are. You know? And then on, you know, Monday through Saturday, Monday through Friday, you spend some time, you read your Bible, you try to hear about it. Maybe you're in a community group and you go do that spending time with God and His Word. Maybe you're in one of the bazillion Bible studies they have around Myrtle Beach. That's spending time with God and His Word. Maybe, you know what, you feel like, I just want to go take a walk on the beach and pray. Do it. That's spending time with God. That's trying to hear from Him and trying to do what He says. The point really isn't what you do. Yeah, I mean, I think you should tend more towards, you know, if you're walking on the beach every single day and you're never reading the Bible, that's probably a little too much. But don't get in this rut. Again, you didn't go on the exact same date every time you dated the person you were in love with, right? You did different things. It's okay. The goal is to see your time with God the same way you saw time on that date, to get to know them better, to understand them more. It's not about a ritual. It's about growing your relationship with God. That's what it's about. And see, when we make that the priority of our lives every single day, guess what we're doing? We're being a living sacrifice. We're saying the other things in my life don't count as much as my time with you, God. And yes, that might mean some things in your life have to change. It might mean you have to rearrange some priorities. It might mean your kids don't get to play every single sport that exists. But again, you made those sacrifices when you were dating somebody that you really liked. You sacrificed time with your friends. You sacrificed that time because this relationship was more important. There is no more important relationship in your life than with the God of the universe. There's not. And in that moment of clarity, you know that's true. It's just as we get further away from it, we begin to drift back towards religion, we're not so sure. This is how we combat that. We focus on spending time with God. And see, by giving God the first priority place in your life, you're declaring to yourself and to the world, you could almost say it with me by this point, you're God and I'm not. You're the boss. You have first place, and I don't. And here's what you'll discover, and then we're done. But here's what you'll discover, and this is so important. The more time you spend with God, the better we get to know Him, you'll begin to discover this truth. The better the relationship, the weaker the religion. The better the relationship, the more you know God, love him, and trust him, and experience him, and hear from him, and allow him to transform you, the easier it is to keep religion at bay, because you discover the relationship is so much better. Would you rather spend time with somebody on a date because their parents made them go on the date with you and they have to be there? Or would you rather spend time with somebody who there's nowhere else in the world they'd rather be than with you? See, as we develop our relationship with God, the religion begins to fade away. Last thing real quick. If you don't know how to study your Bible, if that is overwhelming to you, if you're not sure about this hearing from God thing, I'm going to make a plug right now for our community groups, because we're wrapping up one series tonight. And then in 2 weeks, we're starting a new series. We're going to start a series I did last spring called High Fidelity. That basically that entire series was how to hear from God. Okay, so we're going to be studying that in our community groups, how to hear from God, how to do what I've just been talking about, how to begin daily spending time with him, hearing from him, and doing what he says. All right, so hear me. This is not one of those preacher things. This is a real thing. If you're not in a community group, you need to take out your connection card. You need to check, I'm interested in a community group. We got 2 weeks to get you in. We'll get you in because you need to be in a community group anyway. This life is not meant to be lived alone. The Peter guy I talked about at the top, the Peter who was a jerk to the non-Jews in Antioch. Do you know what fixed him? His friend Paul. His buddy Paul said, Peter, dude, come here. What are you doing? See, that's why we need community. That's why we need to live this life, because there's going to be areas where we struggle, other people don't. They'll be able to help us out. There's going to be a time where you get to be the guy that calls somebody else out, I promise. It'll be awesome. So sign up for a community group, all right? That's important. Now, I want to wrap up real quick right here. This is it. This is the entire series right here. The most dangerous lie Satan ever told us is that we're smarter than God. And we've believed it. And it's led to religion after religion after religion, putting our faith in everything but Jesus, which has led to false security, because we really think it works. And it doesn't. It never has. It never will. My prayer is that if you've gone through this series, you've had your moment of clarity. And that today, you will not only have a moment of clarity, you will have a moment of transformation, where you will acknowledge, I am a religioholic, and I need to begin this process to stay a recovering religioholic. I need to run to God daily, remind myself daily, he's God and I'm not. Let him change me so that he can use me to change the world, because that's really why we're all here. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for, Father, just who you are and for how patient you are with us. I thank you that you really do want a relationship with us. I just pray that you make that relationship real to us today. Make these steps real. Give us the confidence to follow this. And let us, each one of us, make spending time with you a priority every single day. Remind us you're God and we're not. And show us what it means to have a relationship with you. So in your name we pray. Amen.